and welcome to a bonus episode of Bunta Vista, the only left-leaning news slash current affairs slash comedy podcast sponsored by Monsanto. A Bayer Corporation brand. That's right, I'm going to say it differently next time. The fine folks at Monsanto liked what we do. They wanted to reach out to you, the listener, to thank you. Simply send a threatening email to a journalist critical of Monsanto's practices, use promo code TITAN20 anywhere within that email, and receive up to 15% off your next order of glyphosate up to a volume of 900 short tons. Here with me today to talk about Roundup Plus, the only pesticide powerful enough to deal with the pesticide-resistant weeds generated by regular Roundup, it's Lucy. How are you, Lucy?
I'm great. Pesticides, they're just good, and I think we should have more of them.
Yeah, but you know what we need less of?
What?
I think, pesticide runoff laws.
Gotta agree. Really getting in the way of the pesticide itself.
Gotta have those pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
And also here with us, just drinking from a big barrel of Agent Orange, it's Andrew.
This makes me stronger.
Makes your bones stronger.
Yeah, bigger. I'm trying to prove to a local community group that, you know, there is a place for this in their community, specifically underground near their water supply.
Buried. Where it can't harm anybody at all.
Well, ideally what you want to happen is for the strengthening properties of the Agent Orange to slowly seep into the water supply over time, so that everybody can build up their strength. You don't want people getting too strong too soon.
No.
Otherwise, you know, it's a bit of a shock to them. Like, you don't want an entire town of people at the same time all having the I've been bitten by a radioactive spider and I'm trying to figure out how to use my powers thing, you know?
Right.
You want it to ramp up. You want it to be like, you know, maybe 6 months in you realize that you can just squeeze a can of spinach and open it like Popeye.
That is what Agent Orange does to people, is my understanding.
That's what we here at Monsanto are telling people, yes. And we're a responsible family organization.
Mm-hmm.
We care about creating strong, healthy, many-limbed babies.
Yep. More limbs, the more successful.
That's right. Just look at Goro from Mortal Kombat. Very successful.
And we are a diverse company. We have, I'm a white woman and I am CEO, so.
Yeah. A real girl boss.
I am a girl boss here at Monsanto.
Oh. Me and Eleanor have been watching the TV show Ozark. Ozark? Yeah.
People be watching Ozark.
People do be watching Ozark, and we're in the second season. There's a lady in it who's like a sort of lawyer / lieutenant for the cartel, and Eleanor would not stop just whispering every second or third scene last night. She's such a girl boss. It's like,
fuck.
Stop it. Such a girl boss, the way she orders them to put that plastic bag back over the guy's head. That is girl boss. Now, Lucy had to really scramble to make it to the show tonight because she was also...
busy schedule.
I've got a busy schedule here.
Lot on.
Busy schedule.
Lot on.
Quarantine. Had to come from one side of the hotel room to the other.
That's right. And I was indeed watching the program The Bachelor.
Yes, real girl boss hours.
Yeah, these chicks be fighting, I tell you what. They're just fighting with each other.
One of them keeps saying in the third person, what's her name? I am a boss.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's like Avena or something. Avena is a boss.
Mm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
You should stop doing that immediately.
Don't do that. Don't do that, sweetie.
Why are you watching this?
There's nothing else on.
Yeah, she can only, like, Lucy can only get Australian TV in the hotel room, and my wife is watching it by choice. And I live in the same house as her.
Oh, so you just don't want to enjoy the things that women enjoy. That's fine. You just want to talk shit about women's interests. That's interesting.
Yeah, I was busy making my brain bigger by doing a big jigsaw puzzle like Mark Wahlberg's genius character in the movie Mile 22. That is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in the... Here we go. In the opening of a movie. You know how sometimes they try and do things in movies to like visually indicate something about a character?
Mm-hmm.
In this one, in the opening credits, there's like a montage about Mark Wahlberg's character being a big genius, but a tortured genius. You know, he's an orphan or whatever. And during this montage, he's like in his apartment and he takes a box down from the shelf that says "World's Most Difficult Jigsaw Puzzle" on it. And he tips it all out on the table and all the pieces are white. Oh,
all right.
I love the idea that if somebody was like this incredible genius.
I just love the idea of genius Mark Wahlberg. Well, they've really set themselves up for a challenge there, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's like crippled by his powerful intellect and he has to channel it into a hard jigsaw puzzle. Oh, it's so good.
I'm just imagining if Einstein was from Boston. Picture a Boston guy just doing calculus or something.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Boston, they turn that river green every year, don't they, for St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, boo. Mm-hmm. Boo.
What's up, buddy? Something wrong? They probably put boats on it.
Nah. Come on. Could you do better than that? Jesus. That's fucking terrible.
Oh, it's time for Boat Watch.
Good Lord. Can't work really, under these conditions.
You could really feel the effort dripping off that segue, couldn't you? Oh, Boston, they got a river. They probably put boats on it. Boat Watch. Oh, goddamn. Here we are, folks. Theo, what's the number one thing that you require from a trip on a boat?
I think I would enjoy if my head remained attached to my body
throughout
the entire journey. I don't ask for much.
Oh, we got Mr. Particular over here.
If my head was separated, I probably wouldn't complain.
You wouldn't really be able to, would you? Although for the urban legend, what's it supposed to be, 30 seconds that your brain stays alive for once you've been decapitated, you would be thinking about sending a letter.
I cannot get my brain to work for 30 seconds attached to my body.
Oh, boy. Yeah, your head would drop off and fall down next to your body, and you'd go, my butt looks really weird in those jeans. I wonder if everybody else is looking at it.
My hand is just, like, jittering around trying to get to the phone in my pocket so I can unlock it and browse Twitter.
Oh, dear. Well, I guess you won't want to take a trip on the new Sydney ferry. Because, number one, you'd have to go to Sydney. Yuck. And nobody else wants to get in on that?
No, I mean, you're correct in saying so.
Okay. gross. But also, they've pulled the classic move of making 10 new ferries that cannot go under several of the bridges on the Parramatta River if anybody's on the top deck.
The government's confirmed this. This is just, like, I feel like there's a baseline of, like, making your boats that I feel like this is a real basic one that you probably should have thought of.
Yeah, when you're buying boats for a purpose, such as being a ferry.
I would definitely at least like take out a tape measure or something just to check. Just double check that
there one. There must be like four bridges, right? It's like a half day job.
Yeah. It's going to cruise around. I mean, you guys have got lots of bridges on the river there in Brisbane.
Oh, it's the River City.
The big brown stinky river. And yeah. You would think that maybe if you were getting some new ferries in, someone would say, can it maybe go under all of those bridges that we have? But in this case, apparently, not part of the process.
No.
So the new, this is from the Sydney Morning Herald, the new river-class ferries, which have been built in Indonesia and shipped to Australia, are due to enter service on Sydney Harbour later this year. Or are they? Passengers seated on the top deck will need to be called below before the new ferries can pass under the Camellia Railway Bridge and the Gasworks Bridge near Parramatta. This does not sound super efficient to me. Every time you're coming up to the bridge, you got to say, hey guys, do you mind coming down?
Nip down here so you don't get decapitated.
I know that's the fun spot to sit, but it's going to need you to come down, and then everybody comes down, and then someone's going to have to go up there and check, because you will not just trust people to come down. Or maybe you got to employ someone to stand up there full time and go, sorry, hey guys, can I get you to... Guys? can I get you to just... And then you got to tap the people on the arm who are like just looking at their phone. They're just trying to get to work. Hey, excuse me. Can I need you to go down below? If you want to keep your head...
If you want to keep your heads.
If you don't...
I bet he'd be a real bloody joker about it. You know the way those kinds of guys are.
Don't
having a laugh about
don't
it.
Lose your head.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. So... A Transport for New South Wales spokeswoman said, while customers are able to enjoy the upper deck during their commute, they will need to move to the lower deck when passing the bridge.
I just, if the boat can pass, but it may hit someone's head if they're on the top of the boat, I feel like that's not giving a lot of leeway for, you know.
Not a lot of room for error there.
I feel like you should probably have a bit more space between your boat and the bridge.
Well, a lot of bridges also aren't, like, completely flat underneath all the way along. Some of them have that kind of curve to them, you know?
Mm.
I bet there's a word for that, and I don't know it. An arch.
An arch is probably the word that you're looking for.
I bet there's some technical bridgeman.
Probably. Don't write in yelling at us about the fucking... Some bridge guy's going to write in. I just know it.
Some student of the bridge. It's going to get on our case here. So, quote... Unless New South Wales Transport Minister Andrew Constance himself is going to yell, duck, as these ferries pass under bridges, this looks to be a huge waste of time for ferry staff, opposition transport spokesman Chris Minns said. And you know what? It's kind of right.
It's definitely right.
Would you, like, it is remarkable to me in this case that they have said, so what we're going to do is we're going to continue to run ferries.
Yeah.
And we're going to let people go up top. We're just going to stop and say, everybody come down for this next bit. And then you can go back up until we get to the next bridge. At which point we will be calling you down again. Do you not have to just accept that you will be running these ferries at like half capacity forever? Will you not just be forced to close the top deck?
For sure, right?
You would
just
think
lay
so.
Down. They can just have a little lie down when they go to the bridge. That seems like fun.
A little sleepy time.
A little nap time.
Sleepy. Little cuddle puddle on the top deck, you know?
Ugh, don't like that term.
So now, he continues, now alongside late-running trains and COVID-safe buses, commuters will have to worry about bridges knocking their heads off as they battle Sydney's transport.
This is so dumb. This is so incredibly stupid. I can hardly believe it.
Picturing a direct-to-video Highlander sequel... Where Christopher Lambert battling atop,
knock a whole bunch off of
a ferry, and then he just ducks at the right moment. The other guy gets his head knocked off,
but just really slowly.
He stands still, going "ow," until his head is torn off. All the panes of glass on the ferry smash outwards, and they have to replace them all yet again at cost to the taxpayer.
Imagine if you were in opposition and this comes across your desk. It would be like the best day all year.
It would feel very good.
What a gift.
You would not believe what these fucking morons.
Oh, you're not even up to the best quotes.
The TF New South Wales spokeswoman said the government and ferry operator Transdev were aware of the issue when the vessels were ordered and pointed to some charter boats that have a viewing deck that also experienced the issue. Oh, well, in that case.
Oh, it's fine. Someone else already did it.
But ferry expert Graham Taylor...
I'm going to need to hear more about ferry expert Graham Taylor. How'd you get the job? Are you hiring?
So good. From Action for Public Transport, said most charter vessels didn't venture to Parramatta as much as the new ferries would need to. Quote, they bought an off-the-shelf option, so the thing doesn't fit properly, Mr. Taylor said. People would be severed from the waist up at high tide.
Hell yeah.
It's a matter of centimetres.
Jesus, from the waist up, that's even less leeway.
So good. Are you not just getting knocked off the boat at that point?
Are they saying that, like, at a king tide, it's not going to fit under?
Pretty much.
Like, I feel like that's really not given much space.
Like, you couldn't take the ferry through at all.
Yeah.
So are you being severed from the waist up or are you being severed from the waist down? Let's weigh in here, folks.
Ooh.
Is this a glass half full situation or a glass half empty, you know?
Would you really be severed or would you just be like knocked off the boat here?
I guess it would depend on like what the railing situation is around the top of the ferry, because maybe you think to yourself, bridge is getting kind of close. I'm going to take a few steps backwards. And then it keeps getting closer and you think, no problem. I could step backwards all day. until your butt hits the railing on the back of the thing, and then you go, oh no, I'm all out of stepping backwards room. Now to plot my next move, and at that point the bridge has hit you.
But you're just getting hit with the bridge, you know, severed. I don't know.
Well, if there's a cable underneath, it could end up with like a ghost ship situation.
Okay, yeah. True.
What a great movie. I think in order to be severed, it feels to me like the railing of the boat would have to be almost flush with like the bottom of the bridge in order to just smoosh you in half.
Yeah, there's a lot of squeezing involved, I think.
In the same way that I feel like the decapitation would probably just involve like being hit quite hard in the head by a bridge and falling over. So I don't think anybody's...
Yeah. I don't want any of it, personally.
I'm going to say, I think my head would come off quite easily at this point. Barely attached.
No, I reckon they're pretty hard to get off. Just one man's opinion.
Heads? I don't know. The guillotine just fucking just slices right through them, hey?
Yeah, I mean, look, in many, 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 many years ago, post-Iraq invasion, when back in the younger days of the internet.
Are we talking beheading videos?
We are talking beheading videos.
Certainly something I wish I'd never seen.
Yeah, it's also something that I wish that I had never seen. But let me just say, takes a while and some elbow grease.
Yeah, that one, I think that's why it's so awful.
Yeah.
Like, really, hot tips just get a guillotine.
Do not watch any videos in which a member of Al-Qaeda decapitates somebody with a Bowie knife.
No.
Why were we all watching that back then?
Not good. Well, I remember my dad was like, hey, don't watch that video.
I thought you were going to say my dad was like, hey, check this out.
No, he's like, hey, don't watch that video. I'm like, okay. And then I immediately
straight
went
to my room. I was with somebody else. I was like,
My older brother showed it to me. He's like, hey, Lucy, come look at this. And I was like, oh, cool. That's in my brain now.
That's not good. Just show your friends or younger siblings like Lemon Party or something.
Yeah.
That's fine.
There's plenty of other weird shit on there.
At least Lemon Party was consensual, you know? So yeah, don't watch that, but... Basically, I don't think the bridge is going to knock your head straight off, but it's still not going to be a good time.
It's not going to be enjoyable.
Like, generally speaking, any time that your head collides with something at a reasonable amount of force, no good.
Like, wouldn't know, don't want to find out.
Yeah, well, like, you know when you're sort of walking and hit your head on something that you didn't know was there and you're just moving forward at a normal walking kind of pace? And it sucks really bad.
Sure does.
Don't really want to do that. Like, I'm assuming that the ferry moves faster than I walk. And the bridge is stationary. So, you know, no thank you.
Bad combination.
But we don't really have to worry about it because the government says that the ferry operator will implement, quote, operational procedures to remove people from the top deck before it reaches the low-lying bridges.
They just have to remember to do it every single time.
Including signage, announcements, and crew directing commuters.
That's good. I love making service staff take on a thing because the government just fucked up something very simple.
Just having to pay somebody to just stand there all day and wait for the bridge. Hey, everybody. Sorry. It's the decapitator up here. Gotta get you below decks. Keep your head safe.
Go to work and you're on decapitation shift.
Well, could be worse. You could work at one of those car washes and have nude men coming through washing themselves down. This is from news.com.au. Naked man caught on CCTV video... showering in Sunshine Coast car wash. Of course, it's a bloody Sunshine Coast.
Of course.
Oh. A girl on The Bachelor just yelled, "You are Gold Coast trash," at one of the other girls.
I heard that.
And I was like, yeah, you got her.
Yeah, you got her, sis.
God, that actually hurts.
Theo, how do Brisbane people feel about Gold Coast people?
Gold Coast is... See, the funny thing is when, like, people that don't know anything about anything talk shit about the Valley in Brisbane, right? Which is sort of the seedier side of the nightlife. But it's fine. It's literally fine. It is 100 times finer than going to the Gold Coast, which is when you could die at any time. It's the nightlife there sucks. It's so bad. The worst people on earth.
How many kids have to die falling out of hotel room balconies before they go, maybe no?
It's not a good place.
Should we take a moment to introduce should we take a moment to introduce international listeners to the concept of skewlies?
I guess so.
Fucking skewlies.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that this is not a worldwide thing. No, I mean, Americans have spring break, but it seems much more glamorous than what schoolies is.
Yeah, I mean, I bet it's not, but...
Probably.
The Amish have a Rumspringa, you know? Except that I guess this is just stuff that these people were already doing. They just go and do it for longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think schoolies is basically the localized Australian equivalent of spring break. What is it, like at the end of year 12?
Yeah. Okay. For like 5 days or something.
Yep. And you go to the Gold Coast, you go to Surfers Paradise. And you get a room in a hotel and you get blackout drunk the whole time. And at some point, you or one of your friends falls out of the hotel room balcony to their death.
And it's on the news.
And it's on the news and everybody acts very surprised.
Yeah.
I would love to get some stats. I'd love to get some stats on that.
I love Schoolies Week on the news. So good.
Well, it's just, it's like, it is absolutely one of those phenomenons that is like identical news coverage every year. There's nothing different about it at any point, except for the news always including the like, it's more out of control than it's ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just this nice.
Yeah, like, is it?
Yeah, if you had it on a, you know, on a chart, it'd just be a very nice clean line, just escalating the whole time, just a bit.
I think we talked very briefly last Schoolies about, I think it was Nine News Queensland or something, had that shot of, like, them running the camera over, like, several spent whippets.
Oh, so good.
Just exposing every single person involved with that story from beginning to end as a massive nerd.
Yes, so good.
That's coming from me.
Yeah, it's like, somebody
had 12 minutes of fun and then went, I am now entirely out of whippets.
Oh, bad news, everybody. Airlie Beach Schoolies 2020 cancelled.
Oh, that was so upsetting.
Schoolies.
Gold Coast Mayor Tom Tate this week announced that November Schoolies celebrations may be cancelled due to coronavirus.
Oh, God.
And jokingly suggesting a Schoolies from home in its place.
What is Schoolies from home? You just get wasted on Zoom or something?
It's just destroying your parents' house and like falling off the roof instead. Oh, man. Now, this kind of makes me think of something I was talking to Eleanor about the other day, which was seeing these news stories about like just young people getting in trouble for having parties and not practicing social distancing, that kind of thing. There was one in particular. Oh, it was a tweet from some Irish girl. You know how you can always tell from somebody's profile picture if they're like from the UK?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
what I mean by that is if they are a like if they are a thin young woman, they will be wearing an extremely tiny dress and their skin will be the wrong color.
Right, okay, I gotcha.
And by that I mean their entire body is coated with like some phenomenal amount of bronzer that is like 20 shades too dark.
Fake tan is still in the UK.
It really is. And this girl had tweeted like, stop closing everything down and let the virus with a 98% survival rate take its course. Sorry, not sorry.
Love that stat, don't we?
And, you know, 10 or 15,000 people had agreed, and you know, it made me think, it made me try to put myself in the position of being in my early 20s when all this was happening. Because obviously, it's very different for me now. Because I primarily spent most of my time at home anyway and resented the time I had to spend commuting to the office and sitting there.
That's true. It must be pretty rough being a teen right now.
Yeah, if the only thing that you actually want to do with your time at this point is to socialize and get blackout drunk with groups of people, and we've all been there, then, you know, you can understand kind of looking for other things. Plus, I mean, there's also the whole thing that if you are, say, 18 to 20, you don't think that anything bad can happen to you.
That's true, and you're right to think so.
Yeah, that was 1,000% how I felt at that age. I was just like, no, nothing bad could befall me. So I wanted to ask you guys, Lucy, do you think if you were, say, 19 or 20 when all of this was happening, do you think that you would be very respectfully following social distancing rules?
Oh, God. No, I would have been such a fucking idiot about it, for sure.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. I probably would have just... I would have done the same thing and talked about a 98% survival rate or whatever, because I was a fucking idiot.
And then
when you're
like,
that young, ooh, you just don't think that things are that bad. You don't think that the bad things are going to happen to you, because you're stupid and your brain isn't developed yet.
Yeah. Particularly, like, you know, what are the... What's the figures about, like, how old you need to get before your brain has actually developed to a point of like, internalizing that there are consequences for things that you do?
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about this today because I drank a Red Bull that was in my minibar fridge. And I used to
drink... didn't think about the consequences?
But it was, like, disgusting. And when I was at uni, I used to drink, like, 4 of them a day. Just pumping that shit, like, straight to my heart and just not even thinking about it. And I had, like, half of one and I was like, this is so gross. It's making me feel like shit.
There's an image that is just burned into my brain because I used to see it, like, every single day. When I used to live and work in Melbourne, and I worked in the CBD, and I worked in, like, this big high-rise building, and the company I worked for rented the whole thing. And the top half of the building was all, like, the corporate stuff where I worked. And the bottom half was, every floor was a call center for the same company. And so, like, every day when I was walking from, like, the tram, where the tram would come into the middle of the city, you know, several blocks over to my office, as we got, but, like, you know, from a block or two from the office, you would start to sort of be waiting at pedestrian crossings with people who are going to the same place. And the demographics of people who work in call centers are, by their virtue, a lot of the time, a lot of younger people, people who, like, you know, will be spending a lot of their time partying and that sort of stuff, and then coming in and doing, like, that kind of real shift work job. And, like, I just remember seeing so many times, like, getting to the pedestrian crossing across the street from work and waiting next to someone who was also going into work. And they would be, like, drinking, like, a, you know, one of those 500 ml pint cans of Mother.
Miss Mother.
Too much liquid.
While also chewing gum and smoking a cigarette at, like, 8 a.m.,
a businessman's breakfast.
And all I could think every time was, like, I cannot think of a worse combination of things to have in your mouth at breakfast time.
I think if I did that, I would literally be unable to see for about 4 hours. Just go clinically blind.
Oh, man. What about you, Theo? Let's say around 20. How were you raging at the time?
So, as far as, like, coronavirus restrictions go, would you say that any of those restrictions would stop me from jerking off 6 times a day and playing World of Warcraft until 4 a.m.?
I think you would get a commendation from the local government. Oh, boy. This guy
local
hasn't left
hero
his house.
Man.
Yeah. We are so proud of this young man who has not left his house in 9 months. And the pandemic, which started 2 months ago, has it's affected us all.
So no, I'd be fine, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, although, like, you know, I grew up in Canberra and I didn't move to Melbourne until I was, like, in my mid-20s. And Canberra was very different in terms of, like, if you wanted to go out, like, in the city or something like that, you had to actually get there. It's a very spread-out city, you know. You had to, like, be paying for cabs or doing whatever. Someone had to be a designated slash drunk driver. And which meant that, like, I feel like a lot of the things that people did were, like, more house party slash hanging out at somebody's house kind of stuff. Not as much, like, the people that you see on things that are like, fuck this pandemic shit, I want to go to a rave. I have to go to schoolies. Oh, boy.
Should we talk about Nude Man?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, right. Nude Man. How do we get here?
Gold Coast schoolies. Nude Man
gotcha.
At schoolies.
Gotcha. You know? Just the words Sunshine Coast. Okay, cool.
Set us off. From news.com.au, a young man filmed showering naked at a car wash on the Sunshine Coast left the owner thinking, quote, he's going to be in bed or in hospital. Okay.
Okay.
Jeff Bowen from Parkland's Car and or Dog Wash in Meriden Plains.
Car and Dog Wash. Okay.
Car and dog, just whatever you got.
Might as well get them both done at once. That's genius.
Oh, so I can wash the dog, but I can't wash myself, huh?
Yeah, come on.
He arrived at work early this month to find a water gun left on the ground.
I love just the image of him standing in this car wash. Just
scratching,
like,
his head.
Scratching his head.
The trigonometry, like, floating past him.
Something happened here.
It's not where it's meant to be.
Suspect a nude man.
He said, I just quickly looked at the CCTV to see if anything needs attention. And I saw that and I backtracked from there, he told news.com.au on Tuesday. In the footage, the man, holding his hand over his crotch, grabs a hose from the wall and then hands it to his companion, who is filming on their phone. He ducks, dives, and jumps repeatedly as he is blasted with the chemicals and chased by the other man, who later throws the water gun down. I believe that solves that part of the mystery.
Just boys being dudes.
Just lad stuff. Mr. Bowen said the nude dude was captured moving to the self-serve bay, quote, because he needed to rinse off.
Obviously.
The first one, it comes out as a high pH that dissolves grime and bird droppings, he said. Ooh, well, that's going to get you clean.
It's going to give you a
yeast
infection.
It's going to make all your nays fall off. But
oh, man. The next one is a neutralizer, a low pH. He was in the machine and he kept moving, so the sensor detected there's something wrong here and shut the machine off.
The nude man lights just flicking.
Oh, this is such a good quote. This is such an Australian quote. Here we go. Asked if it would have been burning, Mr. Bowen said, yeah, I would reckon. Yeah, I'd reckon. I feel like there's a bit of a problem here with this. So he goes on to say, to do that, you'd have to be young and have young skin. He said, young, supple skin. Put the lotion on. He said, he'd be on fire. It would be like chili juice on your skin. My issue with this is, we've all been to the self-car wash thing, right? Lucy, have you ever washed a car in one of these bad boys?
I don't know how to drive a car, but I've been through one.
Well, did you sit in the car at the time?
I've been inside a car. I was not outside or nude.
Okay, so Theo, I assume that you have pressure washed your own vehicle at some point.
Yes.
Now, describe to me the process by which this works.
So you arrive, you pay $900 in small change.
Yep.
You grab one of those long wands, and it applies foam to the entire car, right? Or do you rinse first?
Well, you see, this is a great question because there is both the big brush that all the soap comes out, and then there's the gun, the big wand gun thing.
Yeah.
which has a whole bunch of settings on it.
Yeah. Are they running down the settings? Like, it's not the automatic program? Are they trying to recreate the effect of being washed by...
I believe so, although it also gives you the option to just, like, skip around and pick the ones that you want. I'll high pressure blast all the dirt and the bird shit or whatever off here, and then I'll do one of the, like, imaginary hot wax settings.
I should be clear, because this story kind of gives the impression that he might have been going through, you know, like, the automated car one, right? Like a billionaire might get washed in the morning.
Or like you might get stuck in a Final Destination movie.
Exactly. But
is he possibly saying he was in the machine, the big one with the whipping around, you know, the big one with the giant shredded Chuck's cloth in it. And then he went out to the other one, the self-serve thing, to rinse himself off afterwards.
No, my impression is that he's getting, because they say that he's being chased around by the other guy. So my impression is that the whole thing started and finished in one of the, like, empty bays.
Yes, me too. So my issue with this is that what the owner of the place is describing to us is the process by which you would wash a car. You would say, okay, I'm starting off with just the little pre-rinse, and then I'm going to switch to the high pressure thing, and then I'm going to do the hot wax, and then I'm going to do... Whereas it just looked like this guy just got his friend to spray him with the water for a bit and then they stopped. I didn't see him, like, feeding multiple coins in and, like, changing the thing with the little switch or anything like that. It didn't seem to be. It was like, the first one is this, the second one deadlier than the first. Like, I don't think this guy was going through the whole car washing process here. My goodness. The incident occurred just after midnight on Sunday, August the 16th. On Facebook the next day, Mr. Bowen said they had had a great weekend of washing with the new touchless storm automatic. And he says, thank you for your patronage and we hope you make a speedy recovery to the person who went in there. The owner said the naked appearance was a, quote, rare event. However, the response on social media had been, quote, great.
Okay.
It's made it a very pleasant atmosphere, a very jovial workplace, Mr. Bowen told news.com.au.
That's so nice. He brought joy to these people.
Everyone should get a nude man into their workplace once in a while.
Oh, classic writing here. The word is that he's fine, his health is fine, but he's not enjoying his newfound fame. Business has been good, so I think we'll give him a few. But this time the washers are for his car, not his backside. You can really picture somebody saying that before signing off with, like, Peter Stevens, Nine News Gold Coast.
Do they know who this man is? Is he a stranger? I want to hear from the man. A lot of speculation on how bad this was on his skin, but I want to hear from him.
You know, it's going to be one of those classic, like, Corey the Party Boy type interviews.
Probably. I mean, he looks like he's having a good time in the images.
Well, I've just been sinking some tinnies. Just wanted to cool off, you know?
You'd hope he'd been sinking some tinnies before that.
I love Australian local news because it's always like, there was a fire and it caused a gas bottle to explode. And then the next thing is I'm interviewing a person. They're like, yeah, I was just in my house and then I heard this bang and I went outside and I was like, oh, I reckon something blew up.
I love how many of those make it to America. So, living in America, people always, like, know the, like, Carl Stefanovic eating the hot pie and all that kind of stuff. And all they're, like, the barking dog man, very famous over there. Very God famous.
Damn. My goodness. Hey, here's a segment that we have not done in quite some time. We haven't done it in so long that I'm having trouble finding the theme. Wait, here it is. Yeehaw! It's the Bad Tweet Roundup. Yes.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, indeed.
Yeehaw, it's the Bad Tweet Roundup. Folks, so Theo, do you want to tell us what the Victorian pandemic lockdown is doing to the minds of people who live in Victoria, particularly people who are paid to commentate on such things?
So do they all live in Victoria? Is this what we're getting at? Because I get the feeling that quite a few people online, they don't live in Victoria, but they're still aggrieved that people in Victoria are locked down. So for our international listeners, you know, we've had a flare up in Victoria, you know, quite a few hundred cases there, and so, you know, fairly drastic lockdown actions have been taken, which is, you know, quite a bitter pill for people to swallow. So what they do instead is that they log on to Twitter and they do this all day long, and they just tweet insane things that no normal mind should read, and then I read them.
Mm.
And I look at these tweets and I look at them for 16 hours a day, and then I go to bed. My hand's still jittering. So this is, the first one is from a lady by the name of Parnell Palm McGinnis.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me that again.
Parnell Palm McGinnis.
So normal.
That's not real. That's made up. But
none,
sure,
of those are names. One is a beer. The rest is skin products. I tried to look her up because I've read things of hers before. She's on AFR. The tagline over there is Parnell Palm McGinnis is managing director of Agenda C. Which Excuse just me? Raises more questions.
It raises a lot of questions.
And she's over there writing insane things for money. They pay her for this, I assume. Little tweet from her. There's tons. I feel like we've collected quite a few of hers and then just thrown them out because they make me extremely mad to look at. But
hey, just for some context for where she comes from. Her father was Porrig Pierce Paddy McGinnis AO.
Excuse me? Go again.
I believe it's pronounced Porrig, P-A-D-R-A-I-C.
Okay.
Porrig Pierce Paddy McGinnis.
So we're doing a name thing in this family. We're doing a P name McGinnis thing. Okay, sure.
He was an Australian journalist, activist, and commentator, notable for the evolution over the lifetime of his political beliefs. Beginning his career on the far left, he subsequently worked as a policy assistant to the more moderate Labour parliamentarian Bill Hyden. Later, he found fame as a right-wing contrarian and finished his career as the editor of the conservative journal Quadrant.
Wow. Whoa. Okay. He's Quadrant guy.
What a fall off a balcony, if you will.
Oh, boy.
Survived by his daughter.
Yeah. Normal brain haver, Parnell Palm. His little tweet that goes a little something like this. Today's the day the Berlin Wall went up. Overnight, a ring of barbed wire was thrown around West Berlin to keep the East Berliners from crossing over and claiming asylum. Thinking of Victorians today.
Fuck off.
She's helpfully attached two images of the barbed wire being deployed. And that was in West Berlin. Oh, so
incredible brain.
Hey,
great brain on her.
Hey, you want to know how she got that name? The father was survived by his daughter, Parnell Palm McGinnis, named after Charles Stewart Parnell and two siblings. Charles Stewart Parnell was an Irish nationalist politician.
Jesus Christ.
All right, you can't blame her. She's cursed.
Yeah, she was born this way. It's not her fault.
Oh, boy.
Assigned contrarian at
birth. Parnell has also recently written an article for the Australian Financial Review titled, Fight for Freedom is Far From Over. 75 years after the end of World War II, the liberties fought for are being frittered away by authoritarian lockdowns.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Sometimes I think the leftists online have the worst brain, like some of the worst tweets I've ever seen. But then I see shit like this and...
Then you remember.
You know, it's really nice. Nice to remember.
Goddamn. Yeah, this is very much the deal at the moment, which is pretending that, like... putting any kind of restrictions in place is this horrible authoritarian destroying people's lives. Mm-hmm. Even though if Scott Morrison were to say, hey, we have to implement stage 4 restrictions to stop everybody.
Oh, God, they'd love it. They'd love it because it wasn't Dictator Dan.
Hey, it's sensible. But some people do love to get on Dictator Dan's case. We also have Adam Creighton, I believe it's pronounced.
That's right.
That's how it's spelled.
Adam Creighton. That's how you say it. He's one of these dudes who... you gotta love him. It seems like a real boomer thing to use a photo of yourself from 1996.
Is that really what... Is that an old picture of him?
Oh, you bet it is.
Oh, I had no idea. I just see this man on Twitter all the time.
He had an even older photo of himself before, like in a bow tie, looking like fucking James Bond and shit.
Amazing.
But I have noticed that like a lot of boomers that you see on Twitter who are in that kind of teardrop, getting very mad about the Liberal Party and the Labour Party and stuff. So many of them are like... so many of them are... women who are very angry at Dictator Dan, and their profile photo is very clearly a photograph that they have taken a picture of with their phone of themselves from about 1996. and it's pretty cool. It means that like you can immediately look at the thing and say, oh, that is 1000% not what you look like anymore, because you had to take a photo of a physical photo with your phone in order to make a profile picture. Very cool. Adam Creighton, what was he for, the Australian?
So he is AFR? The economics editor at the Australian.
God damn.
Having normal thoughts.
Hit me with one of these bad boys, Theo.
All right. So this is a play in three acts, I feel. so after weeks of quote-unquote second wave hysteria that's put 5 million people in lockdown for 6 weeks... still only 17 people in ICU in Victoria with COVID-19. Meanwhile, 107 Victorians are dying every day from other causes. So this is July 14th.
We got to get those numbers up.
Yeah. And good news for him, we did, unfortunately. So things got a lot worse from there. At the height of which, you know, we have something like, you know, 600-700 new cases a day. Not great. So he kind of got what he was after, maybe. August 2nd. Shameful what's occurring in Victoria. Effective dictatorship declared. Devastating, destructive power of the state on full display. Respect for the individual clearly irrelevant. What's the point in being alive if you can't live?
Wow.
I haven't worked that one out yet.
This is a recurring theme in this type of post from right-wing commentators, is the idea that... I mean, this is generally a theme with like hard right-wing people that we have returned to over and over again, which is there is no greater affront to somebody's freedom than being asked to maybe consider anybody who isn't you for like 2 seconds. Nothing could possibly be worse than being asked to do something which doesn't directly benefit yourself.
Right.
Even if it just passively benefits yourself. And in this case, the stuff that we're talking about in Victoria, it did get more strict. It's like, I believe it's you can't travel to
it's
any...
It's pretty
like,
rough. You can't travel more than 5 kilometers.
Yeah, yeah. So like my...
a curfew. It's not great.
My brother, for example, he had... put his car in to get a bunch of work done on it at a place that's like across Melbourne. And then the stage 4 restrictions kicked in and they were like, your car's done. And he's like, cool.
Oh, fuck.
and he had borrowed his mother-in-law's car while this was happening. And so he both cannot travel to his mother-in-law's house to return the car, and also cannot get his own car because both of these things are out of the range of places you can travel to.
God.
So yeah, is it mandatory masks outside of the house? You need to have an actual reason for being out and doing stuff. There are exceptions around, like, I think you're allowed to have a block of time outside every day to exercise, stuff like that. But beyond that, if you're doing the right thing, you are essentially just stuck at home. You know, my brother and his wife have 2 very young kids, and the shit is rough when you can't take them out to just do something.
And with like, kids, it would be a nightmare.
Oh, man. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot even without them. I mean, I've been living like this for basically since March in Hawaii, and it gets to you. It sure does, but not enough to be writing tweets like this.
Yeah. So, just this whole thing of like, people's lives are being destroyed by not being able to go down to the RSL and get the cheap steak. Like,
right. The idea that that's like, that your life is basically over if you have to stay home is pretty depressing.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
get a hobby, bro.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of these are the same people who would say to you, if you complained about some other aspect of Australia,
right, they hate whinges. Why don't
you go live in some other country if you hate it so much here? You know, we have everything and we're amazing and blah, blah, blah. If you don't like it, why don't you fucking go and live in Afghanistan or whatever? But
right.
But because, you know, we've had a government say, we actually need everybody to come together and do this thing in order to beat this and have fewer people die. Like you said, it's as though they're saying, might as well be dead.
They're also the same people that like think that people on Centrelink shouldn't be able to afford any kind of leisure, like going out for a coffee or something. They think that that's a fine way to live, but when it happens to them, it's, you know, they might as well die.
Oh, so a couple of things as well about that. So the 2nd of August we had was Australia's third worst day for new cases of coronavirus, so about 640 new cases. And the path, I think, is clear to everybody except these shitheads, right? Which is you need to lock down to a degree where the R-naught of the, you know, of the caseload is less than one. And eventually stuff goes down to close to zero and you can open up again. Right? But the concept that we would have to take a hit, do something we don't particularly want to do for a little while so that we get more freedom afterwards is clear to everybody except for, let me just scroll up here again, economics editor from The Australian. Right? Like, as evidenced by the next tweet, which is from today, at present, Melbourne has a curfew from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Should the curfew end? ? And he's got some poll results here. Yes, 28%. No, 72%. Every person living in Victoria must wear a face when leaving home. I think he means face mask. Should wearing masks be compulsory? ? Yes, 89%. No, 11%. Depressing. And a little scary.
Is it?
It's not. It really isn't. That is probably the least. I've been online a lot lately, and this is the least depressing thing that I've read. Yeah, cool. Yeah, people know it's working, right? Like we're at a point where we're beating this thing again, and no thanks to this dipshit.
Imagine thinking that the most depressing and scary thing was that an overwhelming majority of people all agreed that taking, like, you know, communal action, that taking collective action to do something for the benefit of their community and their state that they live in is a good thing to do.
Yep. Absolutely.
This is where this kind of like feverish individualism just cooks your brain. Like I said, the idea that being asked to do anything that is not solely about benefiting yourself is just an absolute affront to you and your rights.
It's American brain, and some people in Australia have still got it.
It's true. Now, I should note on the second tweet in that series, Theo, the one about what's the point being alive if you can't live. He had 3,300 likes on that tweet and 6,400 replies. Meaning that we can assume that several thousand of those were people saying, shut the fuck up.
What a miserable little worm you must have to be to like log on and see that 6,500 people have yelled at you to say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And you just go, well, that just proves my point. Proves I'm onto something.
Now, we have a final entry here, and this is something that I could not stop thinking about.
I don't like this.
When I saw it, I could not stop thinking about this. I sat and just laughed like a maniac in my office for 10 to 15 minutes. This one comes to us from Tolga Kumova.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I couldn't sleep last night thinking about this. It's a COVID statistic I don't think anyone has thought about.
Yeah, so there's a reason for that. I don't want to foreshadow, but...
Victorians are losing precious time out of our lives that we can't replace. Absolutely disgusting what has happened and happening, whatever your views are. And then he has posted what appears to be a screenshot of a text message he has sent himself. He couldn't even figure out how to use the Notes app.
Yeah, why is it in a text?
I assume he sent this to somebody else and thought to himself, this is so fucking smart.
Yeah.
I simply must share it with the world. So here it is. This is the devastating thought that he couldn't sleep last night because it was rattling around in his brain with such ferocity. 83 years is the average Victorian life expectancy. Times 365 days times 24 hours equals 727,080 average hours in on a Victorian's life. Mm-hmm. Probably meant and Victorian's life, which would still be wrong.
I'm listening.
6.5 million Victorians in ISO times 6 weeks times 7 days times 24 hours equals 6,552,000 hours of time lost in ISO 2. Sorry, 6,552,000,000 hours.
Not going to start correcting it until it's over.
Of time lost in ISO 2. This is the equivalent of 9,011 Victorians not having lived.
Perfect.
No 9-11 every day.
This is the amount of time Victorians have donated to our government strategy. What worries me is we have given 9,011 lives worth of time imprisoned with no sustainable outcome achieved.
Also incorrect. Let's keep going.
Let's just barrel through this. I can't quantify the finance.
It's literally quantifiable.
You can't quantify it.
Yeah, you can't quantify it. I can't quantify the financial and psychological hardship, but losing 9,011 lives worth of time is disappointing. We are not going to get back this time, and no sustainable deliverable have been achieved. We need a better strategy. Okay.
Where would we like to start with this?
Okay. I would like to start with, I think... Okay, so the first thing that made me go, like, just want to throw my phone at the wall and yell, what, was the... This is the equivalent of 9,011 Victorians not having lived. So, we're talking about hypothetical people. He doesn't even say, like... He doesn't even say, this is like all of the people in isolation have lost, you know...
How many of their lives, specifically?
6 weeks off their lives of doing something fun, which right. We would, you know...
No, it is as if... They were dead for the entire time.
Uh-huh. We've killed 9,011 Victorians.
We made 9,011 clones in vats, and then we hatched them all, and then we shot them. Yeah. Like, but also, I mean, even taking a step back from that, he figures this out. He has convinced himself that this is a very bad thing. He has figured this out by saying, I'm going to figure out what the average life expectancy of a Victorian is.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to calculate literally every second of life. Then I'm going to calculate literally every second of isolation in Victoria. And then I'm going to say, how many lives does that equal?
Right.
There seems to be a massive glaring error there in the sense that when... Like, say, before isolation was happening, I'm pretty sure some people still say, watch TV, cook themselves dinner.
Yeah, like we're just saying that being inside is a loss of hours.
Slept, worked for 8 hours a day.
And I guarantee this guy is not applying the same thinking to like work.
No.
Or commuting or like just like, yeah, any of this stuff, right? It's just that...
Yeah, like that 8 hours a day in an office before this, that's living. That's fucking living.
And like, hey, I'm still working 8 hours a day. So between that and sleep,
we're counting sleep time in this too.
Yeah, if you're so offended by the concept of people just frittering away millions of hours of their lives, then maybe there's other things you could get mad about. But
imagine thinking this is so profound that you've posted it.
Exactly. Thinking that you've made some kind of point here. It's just mind-boggling. And
the maths is right there.
Like, but also, surely the thing that he's actually talking about here, the thing he's actually complaining about, is that you can't do some of the social activities that you would do sometimes in your free time, which is not all of the time. You can't go to the pub. You can't go paragliding. You can't go bungee jumping. You can't take a hot lap in a V8 supercar.
But you can quantify these things. You can say how much bungee jumping time has been lost by Victorians. That's a sad stat. Like, that's real. You can do that.
Yeah, but like... just for how many people, like, I think for a lot of people, the things that they are losing are, you know, social interactions with people. They're losing being able to, like, go to the pub on a weeknight or, you know, go to a gig or go fucking clubbing.
There's
or
like
whatever.
Real losses that you can just talk about that actually suck. You don't have to do this.
Well, the real losses that he wants nothing to do with are all the people dying. Like, when people die,
right,
how many millions of hours do they lose?
Well, I guess you can just subtract them from the... or add them to the...
Just take them off the total, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, when you die, we get 4 million hours back. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right.
God damn. Oof. I can't even begin to imagine writing all this down and looking at it and going, wow.
Time to press post on this one.
Wow, it's going to get some likes. This is going to get some likes. What's this little article you've attached down the bottom here, Theo?
Oh, that's not from me.
It's from me?
I think you've attached that to the document.
I did not attach this to the document. I assume that it was Ben, who was not here.
I certainly didn't.
Yeah, it actually it complies to the style guide, so...
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I don't know how to do the things that Ben does with the notes.
Style guide. Very
precious
important.
Precious style guide. Here's an interesting article, said Ben, from April 2019 on Yahoo Finance. Got the exclamation mark, so you got to read it like that. Got to read it like Super Mario. Yahoo! from taxi driver's son to $95 million business tycoon, mining entrepreneur Tolga Komova went from nothing to becoming a young rich lister worth $95 million. Along the way, he has changed many lives. From the local African economies, which his mines has contributed.
Oh, that is a sentence. That is a sentence.
to the business partners who admire his drive and instinct.
Did he write this himself?
Probably.
God.
But as a young stockbroker, he changed his parents' lives for the worse. Ooh. He had lost their life savings, about $250,000. After the financial institution he invested it through went bankrupt. I remember it like yesterday, he told Yahoo Finance's editor-in-chief Sarah O'Connell during the New Investors show. You just think about your dad 7 days a week, night shifts as a taxi driver for 20 plus years, and everything he's ever worked for. How many millions of hours is that of pure living that this guy's been doing?
He's been living.
Everything he's ever worked for is now gone, right? Picture that. Understandably, his father was livid, so angry that he left the room. But then his mother spoke, and it would change his life forever. She said, "You are a fuckwit."
You're a real piece of shit, buddy. That's a fucked up thing to do.
She said, "Son, do you know what? The money you lost today, one day, you're going to spend it and you're not going to care. It's going to be irrelevant to you. the day after you'll do it again, it's still going to be irrelevant. You are that smart. You are that intelligent. I know you are incredible. Don't worry about it. Just go and get it back.
This is... what is this article?
Please go and get my fucking money back. God damn.
He totally wrote this, right? Like, there's no way that this is what his mum said to him.
I feel like this is accidentally correct in the sense that she's like, one day you're going to spend another $250,000 of other people's money and not yeah. care about it. Oh, boy. He credits that moment as giving him confidence in himself. Life was short and he now literally had nothing to lose. That's a person you should be most afraid of, he said. The person that's got nothing to lose. The person that's willing to give up everything. Which I was at that point. I had already given up all of my parents' money.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, he's paid back his parents' money and more. Now, my parents live on a 4-story house on the beach with a pool on their roof. And Mum took Dad aside and said, pick whatever you want. That makes me happy, being able to put a smile on their face. He would soon move out of stockbroking and enter the speculative world of minerals entrepreneurship.
I don't even want to know what that phrase means.
He has made himself and several mining companies ultra-rich from investing and then finding lucrative sites full of mineral wealth.
I love just finding lucrative sites full of mineral wealth, like just happening upon them, you know?
It could be anywhere. It could be in your backyard. It could be in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. Anywhere.
Oh,
all it takes is for someone to get there, look at it and go, that's mine.
That's mine now.
That doesn't belong to you.
I will pay you several dollars to dig all of that out of the ground for me. In Mozambique, he was responsible for creating the world's biggest graphite mine. Kumova estimates he, quote, gave up 6 years of his life on the project to supply the world.
Interesting. Oh, that's really interesting.
Interesting. So you say he, quote, unquote, gave up 6 years of his life and so he's worth $95 million. six years.
Knocking out those numbers.
Yeah.
My goodness. To those that protest against the mining industry, he asks, why? He recalls one Western group of protesters active at a village near the graphite mine. You guys all turn up in these beautiful trucks sponsored by NGOs, and you are fed and given mobile phones, and you've got clothes on your back. You're getting beautiful water, he said.
Fucking mobile phones. I don't want my mobile phone.
This cannot have been published. It's made my life worse.
He's done it.
He's done it. He's
graphite.
He's about to. Yep.
Graphite is an ingredient for many electronics, including the very mobile phones the protesters were using.
Oh,
I see. You have an iPhone.
Sent from my iPhone. Capitalism sucks. Fucking gotcha.
I feel like this is the end state of sent from my iPhone. Coming from the man.
Oh, you hate mining? Why is there graphite in your phone?
And you're telling these people to worry about the noise and the dust this produces? They don't have food. They're struggling to drink. There's no healthcare. Look at how they live. Come and look at how they used to live.
I have $95 million.
I am going home to buy my parents another 4-story house and live with my $95 million.
Fuck, that sucks. This whole article sucks so much. I hate Ben for putting it in here.
I wonder how much of that $95 million he's gone back and given to the community in Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
Probably most.
Well, he gave him a hole.
Yeah, he didn't need to. He just happened upon the fucking
mineral resources.
You
want more than the hole?
You guys are going to have more pencils than you know what to do with.
That's right.
They can keep all the dirt after we've dug the graphite out of it.
You will never, ever. You and your children and your children's children will never want for peso refills. God damn.
Fuck.
What a cool guy.
Yeah. Great guy.
Well, that's it, folks. We've made ourselves suitably angry. And it's time for us to go.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Time for us to go back to... I'm trying to remember where we were at the start of the episode, Theo.
I might go on... Well, it was the pesticides thing, but I might go and try and calculate. We've probably got about 6.5 million listeners to this show now.
And on
average, we put out 8 and a bit hours of content. That means every year... Would that be like one person losing their life having listened to put
Let's hope so.
Yeah, figure out how many people we are erasing by making
this show. Hopefully it's one less Sydney cider that we're, creating.
My goodness. Well, that's it, folks. Thank you for your time. Thank you for subscribing to the show. And we'll see you next week. So long.
Bye.
Bye.